Good evening. Welcome to our Sunday evening worship service here at Beach Hill. It's so good to see you all here this afternoon. If you are visiting with us, you are an honored guest. Hope to have you back at any in every opportunity that you might be able to come back and worship with us. We'll be back again this Wednesday night for midweek Bible study at 7 o'clock. We have Bible class first, followed by a devotional period. We'll meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Bible class and with worship to follow. We have a few announcements tonight before we begin our worship service together. We continue to remember Brother Don Ward and Miss Diane as they have radiation treatments. Remember their families during this time. The doctor's helping them out. Pray that those can go as quickly and smoothly as possible. Also, Stevie Barnes, son-in-law of Mickey and Gail Chandler, has been diagnosed with cancer. Continue to pray for him during his diagnosis period and his treatments beginning soon. And have the doctor choose to take care of that situation. Pray for them as well. Don Mooney remains in Tupelo Hospital, being treated for his infection in his back from this past week. And also this past week, Miss Gail Winter was transferred to Diversity Care, where she continues to undergo her treatments. I'm so proud to announce again tonight that Dale Bateman has returned home this past Friday. He was able to come home after 2 months in the hospital and through his rehab. We're so proud to be able to announce that. We continue to pray for Dale and his family and his continued recovery. Also, please continue to remember Tracy Finley and Sarah Finley as they prepare for their liver transplant surgery on March 22nd. And we pray for Miss Tracy Simmons, who is Shauna Jones' sister-in-law, who's been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Just a quick reminder that this upcoming Sunday, March the 6th, is our teacher rotation for the spring quarter. So if you need any literature, any questions answered, please feel free to see me or Ryan, help you out with whatever your needs might be. That's all for our announcements. At this time, we have an order of worship. Tonight, reading scripture and opening prayer will be by Brother Tony Farese. Our closing prayer by Brother Ryan Simpson. Appropriate time, Brother King, have message of the hour. And please grab your songbooks, look along with us at the front as Will Simpson leads us in singing.
First song this afternoon will be number 731. Sing the first, second, and last verse, 731.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves in the light, in the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, in the light, in the light, in the light.
Scripture reading and prayer this evening will be number 141. Let's sing all three verses. 141.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
If you would turn with me to James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. James chapter 4. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. May we pray. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to gather here to study your word and sing songs of praise and to praise your name today. You've given us a beautiful, beautiful day, and we're so grateful for it. We're so grateful for all the blessings you've given us. We're grateful for this congregation. We're grateful for King and Winston as they labor here among us. We're so thankful for our elders and our deacons and our teachers as they work hard for the glorification of the kingdom and spreading the truth of your word. Dear Lord, we're so grateful for every family that worships here. We're grateful to have one another. And we're grateful that in this congregation, we're so blessed that we do love one another. Please let us be encouragements to each other on a daily basis. Please let us be good examples for one another. Please let us fulfill our obligation to you and to spread your word as you would have us do. Dear Lord, we know everyone's talents are different. We know everyone's roles are different. But it's our prayer that we'll each contribute as you want us to in making this congregation as strong as it can be in fulfilling your goal for us in spreading your word throughout our community and the world. Lord, we know that we have so many who are sick and afflicted of our congregation. We come to you on a regular basis with our petitions for healing. We're so grateful that Dale Bateman has been able to return home as he has lingered and fought a terrible, terrible battle. We're so grateful that you've heard our prayers and that you've allowed his health to be restored. It's our prayer that you'll continue to be with him, dear Lord, and hopefully we'll see him back here shortly. Dear Lord, we want to say a special prayer for Diane Ault and Don Ward as they're taking treatments. They're very, very special people to us, and we know how difficult these treatments are. We just lift them up to you, and we ask that you give them strength, that you give them endurance, that you give them comfort, and most of all, that you give them peace in their hearts as they endure what their doctors have on their plan to recovery. And let them know, dear Lord, that we love them and that we're praying for them and that we look forward to the day that their health is restored. Dear Lord, please be with those that are listed on our screens that are numerous, our members, our friends, others who are taking treatments, others who are homebound and battling diseases and they're not able to be with us. We want to remember them, and we want to ask that you be with their families and their caregivers so that they know that they're not forgotten and that we do miss them. Dear Lord, please be with Randy Grisham as he is recovering at home. It's our understanding that he's getting better and that he's on a walker now and that he's got a cane that he's ready to advance to. And please let Randy know that we're still praying for his recovery, and we look forward to the day that he can walk right back in this pulpit and read the scripture as he loves to do and as we love for him to do. Dear Lord, please be with Stevie Barnes and that family as they undergo cancer treatment. Please be with everyone that's been listed. Dear Lord, we ask that our hearts are right when we come and worship with you, that we'll lay aside our worldly thoughts, that we'll lay aside the things that clutter our hearts and minds that the devil likes to plant in us, and that we will pay attention as King labors with us here and delivers a message from your word. It's our prayer that you'll give King a ready recollection of what he's prepared. We're so grateful for the hard work that he gives us in delivery of your truth. And we ask that we apply these to our everyday walks of life. Dear Lord, as you know, we're all weak and sinful creatures, every single one of us. We ask that you forgive us of all our many sins. We ask that if we've sinned against any of our brothers or sisters here, that you'll forgive us. And we'd ask that they forgive us. Dear Lord, please be with us as we go about this week. Please guide, guard, and direct us. Give us a safe return to our homes tonight and as we travel about our work and throughout the week, and that you'll allow us to return on Wednesday night to continue to worship you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Song for the lesson this evening will be number 557. Sing the first and last verse of 5, 5, 7. We'll save the refrain till after the end of the third verse.
On Zion's glorious summit stood a numerous host drinking by blood. They hymned their king in strains divine. I heard the song. Of bliss forever new. unto their view. Rise in succession to their view. Holy, holy, holy Lord God.
Invitation song will be number 420, first and last verse, 420.
We welcome you in this assembly, and we welcome those that are able to observe, to hear, and to worship with us through by means of Zoom. We're grateful for the good crowd we had present this morning. And in that crowd, I noticed that Melrose was back with us. She's back with us again this evening. And it's good to see others as time goes along who are able to return to services and be with us. We look forward to the return of others. I was speaking to Janice Wilbanks, daughter of Ruth Decanter, the other day, and she was telling me about how much Ruth enjoys worshiping with us by way of Zoom whenever Janice is able to be with her and to help Ruth to tune in to us. And she was commenting on how much Ruth likes the singing at Beach Hill, and that the two of them sing along with us together as they participate in that way in our worship services. So we're grateful always to hear about things like that. We're grateful to hear about other good signs. Mark Ward was telling me just before services tonight that about 65 people in this congregation plan to make the trip to the Last Leaders Convention. That's a very good number. That's an encouraging recovery of this program after the crisis that we've been going through for the past 2 years. And the good interest of many in this congregation in that is indicated by that number. And there are ways that all of us can participate and help with that program. And we look forward to the beginning of the spring quarter in our Bible class program next Sunday. That program has continued in great strength all through the crisis of the past 2 years, except for a time or two in which we had some setbacks because of health conditions. But our people are ready to serve, and they always bounce back into places of service and keep that good work going. It's vital to this congregation that has been all through the generations. There were several speakers whose words are important in relation to the birth and the childhood of Jesus Christ. Luke and Matthew give us records about that time period and the work of God's redemption. And in Luke chapters 1 and 2, he mentions, for instance, the angel Gabriel and what Gabriel said to Zacharias in the temple and what Gabriel said to Mary in Nazareth. And we hear the words of Elizabeth, the wife of Zacharias, in chapter 1, beginning at verse 39, as she was speaking to Mary. And then shortly after that, we hear the words of Mary, who would be, of course, the mother of Jesus. We have Zacharias' words in chapter 1, beginning at verse 67. He spoke by the Holy Spirit, the words that follow on down through verse 79. When you come into the second chapter of Luke, upon the occasion of the birth of Jesus, there was an angel of the Lord that spoke to shepherds near Bethlehem, and then he was soon joined by a multitude of heavenly hosts as they praised God. The shepherds then went to Bethlehem as they had been informed about the birth of the Christ, and they spoke to those who were present there about what they had seen and heard, And they returned later to their work, praising and glorifying God for what they had seen and heard. And then when Jesus was brought to the temple, when he was about 6 weeks old for the rite of purification, according to Leviticus chapter 12, he and his mother and Joseph were met by a man named Simeon. And Simeon was one who was guided by the Spirit of God. And he was in the Spirit on that occasion, meaning he was under that guidance at that time. And he spoke some words of prophecy that are recorded there in Luke 2, verses 25 through 35. And then finally, Anna, called a prophetess, is brought to our attention in three verses, in Luke chapter 2, verses 36, 37, and 38. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she had been a widow even to 84 years, who departed not from the temple, worshiping with fastings and supplications night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she gave thanks unto God and spake of him to all them that were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. The very hour that she came up is a reference to that hour in which Simeon had met Joseph and Mary and taken the baby into his arms and it pronounced those words of prophecy that are found in the preceding verses. It was at that moment, in that hour, that Anna the prophetess approached and said what she said. There are some facts about Anna that are presented here quite briefly that draw our interest, that she is a prophetess, first of all, indicates that this is something for which she was already known when she, on this occasion, spake about the baby Jesus and about the work of God. To be a prophet or a prophetess meant that one was on occasion used by God through the Holy Spirit to deliver something that had been revealed to that person. And thus what they spoke would be the word of God. Not all of them wrote books, as we have the prophetic books of the Old Testament, beginning with those of Moses, who was a prophet. And not all of them spoke every day, evidently, a word of prophecy. But whenever God so chose to reveal something, he did so through those who were empowered and guided by the Holy Spirit. God spake by these men who were moved by the Holy Spirit, and sometimes by women, for she's not the only prophetess that we encounter in the Bible. And then she is said to be a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. The name Phanuel is a Greek form of the Old Testament name Peniel, and that was what Jacob named a certain location where during the night he had wrestled with the angel of the Lord. Peniel means the face of God. And what he was there saying about naming that location, Peniel, was that he had come into close contact with God in the grappling of that wrestling match in the night and the words that God had spoken to him. So this name, Phanuel, comes from the name of that location on the Jabbok River to the east of the Jordan River. He is of the tribe of Asher, and thus his daughter of the tribe of Asher, which indicates that whatever people may think or say about 10 lost tribes of Israel, there were survivors of those tribes, Asher being one of those tribes, and that she's numbered along with other people from other tribes with Israel. And that there were records still being kept at that time of genealogies and about the descent of people and of what tribes they came from and to which they belonged. Now, she is said to be of great age. And there is some dispute because of the ambiguity of the language here. It's ambiguous to us, but it was not intended to be by Luke when he wrote it. And evidently, those who first read the Gospel book of Luke knew exactly what Luke was saying. But the ambiguity may be because of the variety of interpretations that have been made of her and her age. Was she a total of 84 years old? Or is it saying that she had been a widow for 84 years, which would mean that she was probably over 100 years old? Some people look at great age and they say, well, 84 is not really a great age. But in comparison with what David says about human longevity in Psalm 90, It would place her in the category of great age to be beyond the age of 80 years. But whatever the case may be about that, she is an older woman, and she had been a widow for many, many years. And it is said of her that she departed not from the temple, worshiping with fastings and supplications night and day. To the expression that she departed not from the temple also can be understood in more than one way. Did it mean, most strictly and the most literal fashion, that she never stepped a foot out of the temple precinct, that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all the days of the year, year after year after year, she never left the temple complex? Is that the meaning of those words? It's not the only possible meaning. One meaning of these words would be that this is where you would usually find this daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher, Anna, that she was there all the time in the service of God, worshiping him. And so it would not be something that would be surprising to go to the temple, and there you would find her engaged in her devotions to God. Did she live at the temple? Did she have a place to stay there? Were quarters provided for her so that she could live there all the time? Night and day, or was it that she was often to be found there? Whatever the case may be, what's being emphasized about her is her expression of devotion to God in these words. With fastings and supplications, she was worshiping night and day. And then we're told about her response when Joseph and Mary brought the baby Jesus, as I said, at about the age of 6 weeks, to the temple to fulfill what the law required of them. And throughout this chapter, there is some emphasis given to the devotion of Joseph and Mary as they fulfill the requirements of the law with regard to the circumcision, naming of Jesus on the 8th day, and then at 6 weeks, this rite of purification, and then how every year, year by year, they went to Jerusalem for the Passover. And that's when, of course, we read at the end of the chapter about Jesus at the age of 12 being in Jerusalem for the occasion of the Passover, a matter that we studied some weeks ago. But now I want to stop and look at what is being said about Anna in these three verses with regard to her habits and especially her speech. Because as you look at those facts about her that are brought to our attention, you'll notice that quite a lot is said about her, about when she spoke. When she was speaking, when she acted as a prophetess of the Lord, it would require her to speak the word that God had given to her. And this was something that people recognized about her, that there were times when God, by the Spirit, used this devoted woman to deliver a message. And so she would have been someone that they listened to, because they knew she was God's servant, guided by the Holy Spirit on those occasions, as was Huldah, the prophetess in Old Testament times, and other such people as Deborah, a prophetess and a judge. And we notice that she worshiped, and worship would require on her part that she speak, and her worship glorifying God also with her fastings and her prayers. And that brings us to another form of speech, the praying night and day with her supplications, which means that she prayed for the interests of others. Did she pray for the nation of the Jews? Did she pray for Jerusalem? Did she pray, as we did tonight, for specific people who were afflicted, sick, or troubled in some way? Did she pray for those who had the responsibilities in the temple, like the priests and the Levites? Did she pray for those who were the teachers of the law and others? She prayed, no doubt being there so often, night and day, a fixture in the temple as it was, a person that served God and known for that, that there would be families and individuals who would approach her and want to talk with her because of the holiness and the closeness to God and the influence of this woman. And she would know them, and she would know their interests and concerns and know their names. And no doubt she would pray for them, because she prayed with supplications night and day, which meant that she was appealing to God for other people. And she gave thanks to God when she saw this baby and knew the identity of this baby, which she could have learned from Simeon's words as he spoke as a prophet on that occasion. She gave thanks to God. So her voice was used for thanksgiving. And she spoke of this baby. She spoke of him to those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. All these ways of speaking, all these words coming from this woman in devotion to God, the reverence, the glorification of God, the teaching of the people, this good influence through her words. Luke wants us to know about that. There would come a day when she would no longer be present in the temple. She was already of great age. Perhaps it came soon after this occasion. But this woman was remembered, and how she spoke, how she used her voice to glorify God in this variety of ways. Just as you and I can remember what people spoke to us who are no longer among us, among our relatives in this congregation, we can remember words they spoke to us. Some things they said we can quote verbatim because of the influence of those words. Knowing them as well as we did, we can even hear at times in our minds the sound of their voice. Such was the influence of this woman, Anna, the prophetess. And Luke wanted you and me to know about her. God, through Luke, wanted us to know about her. Her example teaches us about speech, worship, and prayers that honor God and bless the lives of those who hear. Her example is a reminder of the influential, godly women that we have known and who are among us to this day. Her example prompts us to examine ourselves and to see if our speech is also good and worthy. She was of great age, and at great age, a Christian can serve the Lord and ought to do so according to his ability or her ability and opportunity. The advancement of age does not necessarily take away all that ability and opportunity. And we ought to be thankful that there are those who live to be of great age. And through their voices, their example, their influence, they can continue to have good effect in our lives and in this congregation. We're told in chapter 2 in verse 25 that Simeon was looking for the consolation of Israel. At the end of this book, near the end of it, chapter 23, verse 51, we are told that Joseph of Arimathea was looking for the kingdom of God. He it was that buried the body of Jesus. And Anna, we are told, spoke to those in the temple who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Chapter 2, verse 38. These three expressions concerning Simeon, those to whom Anna spoke, and Joseph of Arimathea, all speak of hearts that were looking for the right thing. Their minds were focused upon the things of God, what God had done, what God purposed to do, and what God promised in his work of redemption. There are those who are looking for the good things that God gives and promises. And to these, you and I may speak the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, as Paul described in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. You may be such a person of that heart too, who is looking for God's redemption, consolation, and comfort, a person who is looking for the authority of Jesus Christ to come into your heart and life and to guide you in the way to heaven. And if you would respond to his gospel invitation tonight, how happy you would be, and we would be, and we welcome you and encourage you with this song of invitation.
All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come, for the table now is spread. Ye famishing, ye weary, come, and thou shalt be richly fed. Come whosoever will.
Present here this evening that hasn't had the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper. It's been left prepared across the hall to my right. You may be dismissed at this time and someone will be there to assist you. We thank everyone for being here this evening. We're also thankful to King for two fine lessons today. Our closing song will be number 288. We'll sing the first verse only. 288.
When my way groweth drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my
together. Our God, we're thankful for today and the blessings of being here this morning and tonight. We're thankful that we could assemble and sing these songs that have encouraged us and stir our minds and hearts in service to you. We're reminded of your great love and your great care for us and the plan you've provided through your Son. We're so thankful for the messages that we've heard today. We pray that as we've heard these and we've let them sink into our hearts, that you will help to rebuild our faith, rebuild our spirit, and our courage to do what is right. Never compromise what we know your word to tell us to do, and let it lead us and help us. We're thankful for the blessings, for those who have been restored in good health, been able to be back with us, and those who are still going through treatments and are still at home, are still in nursing homes. We love them. We care for them all. We look out for each other as we walk hand in hand with you and pray for each other every day. We're thankful for the word that has power to save and to correct and help us. We're thankful for all that you bless and provide us through your Son. Be with us as we leave this place and give us the safe trip home and back and assemble back at the next time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.